This afternoon, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament, we're going to look at the first six verses there of 1 Kings chapter 18. These sermons are good for us in terms of the days in which we live in, which are unfortunately in many respects days of apostasy from the true faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, many in our own generation in our country turning away from true religion, not realizing the significance of what I spoke of this morning, that there is only one true and living God and only one way to eternal life. And so people in our day, many of them do not fear the Lord. Well, this afternoon we're going to learn about a man who greatly feared the Lord. His name was Obadiah. And so let's bow together for prayer before I begin to speak to you. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. In fact, thank you for the life of Elijah and Obadiah and these other faithful, godly men who in their generation feared you, who loved you, they served you, they held fast to the truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. They shone as lights in that time, in that way. And Father, we pray that we would be the same, that we would hold fast to you and to your truth, that we would not give over or give up for anyone, but that we would persevere in our faith, even unto the end of our life. For we know that there is great reward in fearing you and in doing your will, keeping your commandments, and learning to serve you in this generation. Help us in that regard, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab had said to Obadiah, Go into the land, to all the springs of water, and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock." Well, when it says that it came to pass after many days, we're to understand that it was the better part of a year and a half. And Elijah had probably been about a year in the wilderness of the brook Cherith. It was probably another year to a year and a half with the widow of Zarephath. Now the time had come, it says here, for Elijah to go and to present himself to Ahab. And so God gave Elijah this command by direct revelation to his mind that he should go and confront wicked Ahab and that God would send rain on the earth. And so Elijah went. The famine was severe in Samaria. The things were getting quite desperate, especially in terms of rain for the cattle. And so wicked King Ahab called Obadiah, it says in verse 3, to tell him what he wanted him to do. Obadiah was in charge of Ahab's house as a steward, one who was responsible for carrying out all of Ahab's commandments to him of how his goods should be handled and dispersed and etc., etc. Obadiah was in charge of Ahab's house, it says here, as a steward. A very important position. It's amazing that this godly man was a steward in Ahab's house. But what's even more significant for our consideration is the fact, which is related to us in the parenthesis in verse 3, where it says, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." It's this statement that I want to focus your attention on and draw lessons from it. What did this mean that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And what's it going to look like for us if we fear the Lord greatly? That's what we want to try and discover. So we need to see if we can grow in our understanding of this vital doctrine, the fear of the Lord. First of all, we want to see that there are different kinds of fear which are described for us in the Bible. Verse 3b and 4, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water. So we see here that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. It says, and the way that he feared the Lord greatly was to hide the Lord's prophets so that they wouldn't be killed at that dread time when Jezebel was massacring them, as many as she could. This kind of fear of the Lord is to act bravely and valiantly according to the will of God, as is found in the law of God, in order to do it. That's what it meant here for Obadiah. Obadiah's personal fear was that Jezebel would murder them all. But his godly fear was motivated by a love which he had for the Lord, a love for the Lord's word, a love for the Lord's people. And he said to himself, what will happen if I do not do something about this situation of evil that I'm looking at? And so the question that we should ask ourselves is this: what should I do if some of the Lord's people are in danger? They're in danger of being persecuted. They're in danger of being killed. The answer is that if I fear God, I should consider what I could do personally to attempt to help them, to hide them if they need that kind of help. What can I do to prevent them from being hurt or killed? In this case, Obadiah really did an extremely good deed for those who were the Lord's prophets and those who were the Lord's preachers, the preachers of his word. It was that he would protect them by hiding them by fifties in caves from Jezebel, the one who would kill them. Now, you and I have not known any of this kind of persecution in the years that we have lived here upon the earth. Not in this free country, we have not, where religious liberty, founded upon our Constitution, prevents wicked rulers from acting in this way. But before the foundation of this country, and before the Constitution was put into place, before it was drawn up and amendments were added to that Constitution, there was plenty of this kind of activity going on both here in this land and in many countries of the world. And I want you to see that the fear of the Lord leads to a Christian's thinking proactively. That is, they will not hide their head in the sand when persecution like this arises. And if necessary, pastors and preachers or other Christian people, they're going to hide them from those who would persecute them if they have the ability to do so. And I think that we can take this a step farther. I want you to think back with me now to the time of the Second World War, of Corrie Ten Boom's father, Caspar Ten Boom, who took the bold step of actually creating a hiding place in the section of wall in his house. He had a carpenter come in, and he had him put a secret little chamber inside the wall so that nobody could tell that it was there. And then he would hide Jews in the wall. Oh, sometimes 5 to 10 of them at a time. He would do this until the authorities would leave searching. They couldn't find it. They couldn't find the hiding place for a time. It was an amazing story. If you've not read it, you should read it. He lived in Holland. Germany was coming in to take over Holland, And they made all the Jews wear the yellow star of David publicly so that they would be seen and known as Jews and persecuted and then eventually taken away to the concentration camps. And Corey's father, Casper, said, "I'm going to help these people." And he did. He was a watchmaker. He had a good job. He could have simply ignored the developing situation of the Jews being rounded up. They're being taken away to death. By the way, there's actual films of this, of the Jews wearing the golden star of David and then being rounded up during the time of the Second World War by Hitler's troops. But Casper Ten Boom believed that since they were God's ancient people, that God had a further purpose for them. It was a purpose of salvation, he believed, and he was going to see if he could become a part of that purpose of God in hiding these dear people and protecting them and hiding them. And in doing so, he prevented a number of them from being taken away to the concentration camps. Well, eventually, some of his family and he himself ended up being caught. And the room was discovered, the hiding place. And they took Casper and those who were with him there and his family away to prison and the concentration camp. And there Casper and Betsy, his daughter, died. For doing this valiant deed. This valiant deed for the Jewish people that they would hide. They laid down their lives for them. But by a miracle of God, if you've ever read the story, Corey was supposed to be executed, but there was a mistake made and she was released. Just before they were going to exterminate the rest of the people in her camp where she was, they let her go. And she got away, and you know the rest of the story. She traveled around. She founded a home for all those hurt by the war, and they would come. And her sister Betsy had sort of prophesied that this would take place, that this house would come about, and it did. Yeah, just like the description that Betsy had given to her. But the wonderful thing was that Corey went around and she told her story to all the nations of people that she could. She traveled the world as a tramp for the Lord. That's what she would call herself. And she did a great and mighty work in showing what I'm trying to teach you here this afternoon. The reason that Casper did this, the reason that Corey and her sisters did this, was because they feared God. That's why they did it. And that's why Obadiah did it. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly in this regard, his hiding, the prophets providing for their needs, and how he did this. While he was working as a steward for King Ahab, doing his work even in Jezebel's household, if you can imagine, would be a whole story in itself. I wish that had been written down, because it really would be quite the story, I think, if we could read it. Be very interesting to know the details of it. But I'm asking, what are you willing to do to protect or provide for or hide God's dear people? It's something that if you fear the Lord, you'll ponder what you can do. And this will lead to actions being taken by you when it is needed. But there are different kinds of the fear of God. And I want to show you some biblical examples. So turn over with me to Deuteronomy 4. Verses 7 to 10, Deuteronomy 4, verses 7 to 10. I want to show you the fear of God that comes from God's having revealed His law to you. Deuteronomy 4, 7. For what great nation is there that God has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon Him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, that they may teach their children. Now, I want you to observe that God had chosen the Jews, the Hebrews, from among all the peoples of the world to be His special people. He chose them as an elect people and as an elect nation. He ordained that they would eventually bring forth the Messiah, the Son of God, from their midst. And God was going to use them mightily to show the whole world that in order to know Him, they had to fear Him. That's what was being said here by God to them. And to fear Him was not simply their being afraid of Him, beloved. The fear of the Lord is not just being afraid of God. You may have fears concerning God, of His greatness and His power and His wrath, and you cannot understand the greatness of those things. But that's not what's being talked about here. What's being talked about here is a reverent consideration for God and His law. In other words, they were to pay close attention to His word. They were to regard Him as holy, because He'd given them these statutes, these commandments, these righteous ordinances. He warned them to take heed to themselves, to diligently keep themselves from forgetting the things which their eyes had seen. Now, stop and think about it. All those amazing things that God had shown them in bringing them out of Egypt, the great deliverance, all the miracles and the mighty works. He's saying, you could forget this. It seems impossible that they could forget such things, but some of them did. They did not remember them the way that they should have. And the reason that they should remember them was lest His fear might depart from their heart. And I'm saying all this was an example for our sakes, so that we might learn to fear the Lord in our hearts, and that His fear would remain there. Now, it will remain there if you will believe that this fear pleases God, this holy regard for Himself and for His Word to do it. We need to understand that if they really received God's Word, if it was accompanied by the grace of the Spirit's working in their heart, then they would be established in their walk before God. And then they would, by degrees, they would learn God's Word, they would live it out. And by faith in God who gave it to them, then they would teach their children, it says here, to fear Him as well. If they would reverence Him, they would have faith in Him and go about to obey Him all their days. And then they'd be really blessed. But why didn't many of the children of Israel fear the Lord as Obadiah in our passage did? I believe that it was because many of them didn't really know the Lord. That was the problem. They thought that they should pursue righteousness only in a general outward way. They ultimately needed to have their hearts changed by God's grace. And I'm saying that this is something which they could have prayed for to God, asked Him for. Let me read for you 1 Kings chapter 8 and verses 37 to 43. This is the prayer of Solomon, by the way. At the dedication of the temple, it says, when there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, in whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner, if you think this is just for Israel, who is not of your people Israel, but who has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. What amazing, amazing truth that we're looking at here. When we think about this, the reason that many of the children of Israel did not fear the Lord was because they didn't know the plague of their own heart. Now, this is something that each one of us must ask ourselves, because if we do not know the plague of our own heart, we really do not fear God. Not as we should. Not as we should. What is the plague of your own heart? The plague of your own heart is your remaining corruption, or your flesh, which puts forth motions in your heart, even though you are a Christian. Puts forth motions in your heart. The flesh strives against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these things are put in opposition to each other, so that you do not do the things that please you. Do you see that? That's what it says in the book of Galatians, in chapter 5. But if we don't know that, if we think that somehow or another we don't have the flesh after we become a Christian, if we think that we don't have a plague of our own heart, then we are in great trouble and danger, actually, in terms of our living our Christianity before the Almighty God, who knows our heart better than we do and is able to show us the secret sins, the pride, the foolishness, the sensuality, and many other sins in our lives that are still there as Christians. Yes, forgiven. Yes, under the blood. Yes, covered by the righteousness of Christ. But you and I need to understand that we need to fear the Lord by knowing the plague of our own heart. And we need to see too then that we need to seek the Lord so that we might find every good thing from Him. Because that's what the promise is of Psalm 84. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in You. It's for this reason that some Christians really lack what they could have if they would only pray for it. You have not because you ask not, James says. But David says that those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Listen to Psalm 34, verses 8 to 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want, there is no lack to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, my children, come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Can you be taught the fear of the Lord? Yes. Yes. That's what is being said here. And the way that you do it is to begin to look and understand better the motions of your own heart. Does your heart go out to God each and every day? Or is your heart like it's dead? You don't really see that you need to seek God to find these good things that we're talking about. You say, well, I'm already saved. I have all these things. Yes, you do. That's true. But you need to know the reality of them more in your heart and life. That's what I'm trying to say. The love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things, they're there. They're the seed of righteousness which the Lord has planted in you. But I'm saying that you need to exercise these graces and strengthen them by feeding on the Word of God and inclining your heart to the Lord in fellowship and prayer to Him. Now, secondly, there are different degrees of the fear of the Lord among those who do know the Lord. Verse 3 of our text says, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He not only feared the Lord, but he feared the Lord greatly, it says here. He feared Him above most men. In other words, and it shows that there are degrees of the fear of the Lord among those who know the Lord. This will be confirmed for us if we'll turn over to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 7 and verse 1. It says here, then it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites have been appointed, that I gave charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel. Watch this. For he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And he said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened till the sun is hot. While they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station, at another at his own house. Now, this was a big responsibility to these two godly men, Hanani and Hananiah. Nehemiah had been rebuilding the walls of the city of Jerusalem. They had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar years before, and now his work was complete. He was going to return to Persia where he had previously served the king there. When he finished building the walls, hung the doors, appointed the gatekeepers, the singers and the Levites to minister for the city that would be built, he gave charge of Jerusalem to two men. Isn't that good? Two faithful men, his brother Hanani and Hananiah. Hananiah evidently was the best, most qualified man for the job of governing, it says here, because he feared the Lord more than many, more than most. So those who attain to the highest degree of fearing the Lord among all those who know the Lord are those who are able to resist the greatest temptations that men around them will present them with. That is, temptations to compromise their duty, their task of leadership, when it comes to keeping the commandments of God in relation to ruling justly or acting righteously. And Nehemiah knew that Hananiah would be a man who would not take a bribe. He would not pervert justice. He would not turn to the right hand or the left in serving the Lord. He would protect the city and he would see to it that no enemies would be able to undermine the work that they had already accomplished. This faithful man, because he feared the Lord more than many, would go about to see to it that the worship of the Lord would be set up, it would be faithfully maintained, and he would rule over the people in righteousness with faithfulness. He would lead them to greater faithfulness to the Lord, greater faithfulness in relation to all of their assigned duties. Now that's a leader. And that's a man who fears the Lord. He would judge for the Lord. He would not show partiality to men. He would probably be thought of in the same way that Jehoshaphat did after he won the battle in which Ahab was killed. He returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat did. He no doubt was shaken up by Ahab's death, wondering how the Lord would deal with him. You remember Ahab was slain by a bow drawn at a venture. But Jehoshaphat, it says he feared greatly and turned his chariot out of the way and he wasn't killed. You remember that? Well, God was going to send him a prophet. And God was going to tell him what he should expect. And I want you to turn with me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. goes Kings and then Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 19. And let me read just a few verses here for your edification. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. This is after the death of Ahab. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, "Take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you in judgment, in the judgment. Now therefore," watch this, "let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem, and he commanded them, saying, 'Thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against law or commandment, against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty,' he says to them." So this is what it meant to fear the Lord in Old Covenant times. To fear the Lord in New Testament times means the same thing, basically. It means to be staunchly loyal to God. It is to behave yourself courageously in doing what's right and to have regard for God's word in all things. And these principles that I've given to you must be taken notice of and lived by to the glory of God if you would make progress in growing up into Christ in the fear of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat knew the Lord, but he had a tendency to want to ally himself with men who did not fear God. And this is a great hindrance to his being a God-fearing man himself for many years. Fortunately, he repented of this sinful compromise and he listened to the faithful warnings given to him by Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer. And so you and I must take heed to the preached word, to listen to it and live by it courageously in the midst of a compromising generation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture which tells us so much about your fear and which leads us on to a study of godly fear in other parts of the Scripture like we've done. We pray that we would be those who are steadfast and courageous, immovable in your work and in serving you as individual Christians and as a church. We pray that if times of persecution come and that we need to hide people, that we would not be afraid to do so, if that's what you would have us to do. We pray that you would help us as well to have regard for your word in such a way that we will not fear the faces of men, but that we would always do what we do in the fear of you, our God, having regard to you in every way to do your will and to live in accordance with your word. We pray and ask it in your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Amen.